Good afternoon and welcome to the Greater IBM Connections webinar series, a new series with one of your preferred experts here on the Greater IBM Connection, Molly Wendell, who has been hosting our Career on Track series that many of you have been taking advantage of for the last several months. Well, Molly came to us and proposed an additional series for your growth and for you to take advantage of and grow benefit from, both for current career aspirations or reinvention, as well as to expand or get new tips on the job search. And her new series is called Molly and Friends. Very novel, but we thought that it'd be easy for you to remember. So, a couple of things that I want to make clear about this series. One, this is not the tips on how to land or reconsider yourself for a new job in a job search. This is an expert series where Molly is introducing us to career experts or leadership experts like herself with different themes that will help you or should be helpful to you in your career advancement. So without further ado, thank you very much for joining us once again. Molly will tell you when the next of the series is going to be a bi-monthly series. So you will meet again in April for this type of thing, and then Molly will be back with you next month in March at her usual second Tuesday slot for the Career on Track. Without further ado, here is Molly Wendell.
Thank you so much, Flor, and thanks, everyone, for participating. We're really excited about this new series for Friends of Molly or Molly's Friends. And, Flor, you're right, it is an easy name to remember. What I really focused on is thinking about, we've been doing this career series, and we haven't really done a that's great for people in the job search, but when you think about all the other people who need help, it's more about just jobs. It's about relationships. And I was thinking about what other kinds of information do people need in order to build value-driven relationships. And so that's what this entire series, The Friends with Molly, is going to focus on, is value-driven relationships. This first one, thinking about how it all starts with you. And this first session is focused on you and your personal brand. So let's get started. And I am going to introduce Cami and talk a little bit about her, and then she's going to take it over from here. So Cami Kobolewski, I met Cami back, I want to say about, I'm not sure how long ago, but when I first met her, everything about her embodies this great persona. And we met, we shook hands, and immediately I thought, she is so interesting. And before we even said two words to each other. And then her whole persona, her dress, her voice, her passion and motivation, her authenticity came across. And then when I started saying, well, Cami, what do you do? She says, I'm an expert in personal branding. And I'm thinking, well, of course you are. You're a perfect example of a very authentic brand. And then the more I got to know her, the more I realized how incredible and important the concept of being authentic within your personal brand, how important that is. So I'm going to go ahead and pass it over to Cami. And Cami, welcome to the Greater IBM community. We really appreciate you taking the time, and I'm going to hand it over to you. Go ahead, Cami. Cami Kobolewski.
Thanks, Molly. Thanks, everyone, for having me here. It's such a pleasure today. I can't even believe the numbers just keep ticking up. It looks like we're at around 113, so awesome. I hope everyone can hear. If you're on the just webinar portion, I hope you hop on so you can hear everything and vice versa. So I'll just start with a little bit of background on myself. In college, I studied both communications and psychology, and I was fascinated with people's personal stories and how they communicate those stories. Then I became fascinated with marketing and advertising and how they tell a brand's story. And so my studies actually led me down a colorful path. After graduation, I worked in various different roles in radio advertising sales, in marketing management, in event marketing management. I worked in the luxury wine and spirits industries with some amazing brands. I worked with Grand Marnier, Tanqueray, Hennessy, Moet & Chandon, Johnny Walker. So these are first-class brands, global brands, and I got to sit in on, I mean, it was like getting an MBA just by working in this industry and sitting in on meetings with these brand managers from these brands and hearing how they really didn't just think of it as a package or the fluffy part of a brand. It was really the story and the heart of the brand, and how were they going to communicate that to their target markets. From there, I became passionate about helping other people as well. So I went back to school. I earned a master's degree in corporate communications with an emphasis in training and development. And then that wasn't enough. So much like a lot of you on the line, I'm one of those lifelong learners. So I became fascinated with life coaching and career coaching and took 75 hours of training in that. After starting the business Passion Meets Purpose, the coaching and consulting business, I got even more fascinated with the personal branding concept. As I started working with clients one-on-one on their careers, a huge portion of what I saw missing was people's ability to communicate their message authentically. Their confidence levels weren't necessarily as high because they didn't know how to communicate their own worth, their own wisdom, and what is unique about them in their careers. So then my focus has now shifted more towards the personal branding arena, which brings us to my most recent job also. I moved from St. Louis to Phoenix about a year and a half ago, and I worked for a year as an internal talent scout for a marketing agency called McMurray here in the Phoenix area, which is how I came across Molly at a marketing event. Again, I was hearing the same things from job seekers that were people who were trying to get jobs at the company I worked at. They weren't able to clearly communicate their authentic message, their unique selling points, and the people that were really stood out and rose above the rest. So that's why I'm passionate about talking about personal branding. I want to help people learn how to communicate their message. So without further ado, we'll sort of get into the branding portion of today's call. And there's a lot of information online, a lot of information being printed, books being written today about personal branding. But it kind of all stemmed from an article that Tom Peters wrote called The Brand You. It was published in Fast Company magazine, one of my favorite magazines, in 1997. So he started talking about it and having a conversation about how are we as individuals a brand and how do we market that. So from there, it's kind of taken off and evolved into its own business now. And funny, as I was going over some notes the last couple of days preparing for this, I came across a comment on a personal branding blog about a big personal brand. So I'll just share this comment. I'll read it really quickly to you that I read on a personal branding blog. A couple of things have really contributed to the success of Dolly Parton, the brand. First, she's totally unique, from the timbre of her voice to the unusual size and shape of her body. Second, she's consistent with her brand. When was the last time Dolly Parton changed her hair color? She knows her target audience, and she stays true to them in everything her brand exudes. Lastly, she has a story. Her story is woven into her music and her mission, and because of that, people feel a stronger connection to her. Everyone loves a good story. So, if there's anything that you walk away from this conversation today, anything that I'm sharing with you, it's really what is your story? What is your brand story? What is that communicating to other people from the second they set eyes on you to the second that they hear your voice, your handshake, eye contact, the way you carry yourself, and the way that you communicate that? The other two words that I think are going to be big words for us today are integrity and authenticity. And are those two things in alignment? So we'll hop into that from here. Okay, so express what is unique and valuable about you. Unique is a word that is a little bit played out, so to speak. Lots of people are using the word unique. One of the other experts in the personal branding arena, his name is Dan Shawbell, and his mantra about personal branding is that personal branding is the process of how we market ourselves to others. Another interesting quote I saw was on Wikipedia. So it says that the creation of an asset that pertains to a particular person or individual is what personal branding is. This includes but is not limited to the body, clothing, appearance, and knowledge contained within. And I bolded that for a specific reason. The knowledge contained within is really the core of your personal brand. And while it does encompass the way you dress and your appearance, it's really what knowledge do you have that no one else has? What wisdom do you contain within you? What are your core strengths? And then how do you communicate that? So leading to an indelible impression that is uniquely distinguishable. That's really the crux of a personal brand. And I wanted to also bring up here something that's really interesting to me that I'm observing, a show that I like to watch that I think so clearly demonstrates what personal branding is all about, and that's American Idol. So I hope there's some people, I can't see you all, it's not like I can see you all waving out there going, I watch American Idol. I'm fascinated with listening to the judges and their comments and feedback, and then watching at the beginning of the season through to the end of the season and how those people grow based on what they are getting feedback from the judges. And the people that ultimately make it to the top 10 are the people that listen to those judges' feedback and really take it to heart and help grow themselves. They become these polished, shiny stars. They take what they already had at the core within them, listen to the judges' feedback, build that into who they are, and take it to the next level. So personal brand is really taking what you already have, uncovering what's already within, polishing it off, and then exuding that to others. Okay, so more about what is personal branding. It's a way of clarifying and communicating what makes you different and special. So if you don't already know and have some bullet points that are clear on what makes you unique and special, you might, while we're even on the call today, this might help you be a kind of brainstorm. And let's definitely take advantage of this time. I know we're all busy. So get a piece of paper out if you haven't already and sort of start jotting down some of these things. What are your core strengths? What are the things that you and only you bring to the table, to your family, to your community, to your employers, to your business, to your clients, whatever that might be? Use those qualities to guide your business decisions. So back to the integrity and authenticity thing, you want to make sure that you know who you are and what you stand for, what your values are, so that you can help make solid business decisions based on your brand. Focus on your unique attributes. We'll talk a little bit more about how we figure out what those are later, but the word unique is going to keep popping up throughout this presentation. Use your strengths, your skills, your values, and passions to separate yourself from the competition. One really great, we've all, I'm sure, throughout our careers taken many, many assessments from the Myers-Briggs Type Indicator to the DISC. One that's really amazing as far as uncovering your core strengths is the StrengthsFinder 2.0. If you have not ever taken the StrengthsFinder, go online, get the book, and take the assessment. What it does is it excavates five core strengths that you have, and then that can really help you with polishing your brand mantra, which we'll talk a little bit about later as well, and how you communicate that from your strengths and skill set. And at the end of the day, personal branding gives you an edge. Ultimately, if you're clear about who you are, what you value, and you have a solid personal brand, that is going to get you a step up from the rest. Okay, so some of the rewards of personal branding, we've talked a little bit about what personal branding is, but what are some of the rewards? Some of those rewards are understanding yourself better. So when we do this personal branding work, when I work with clients on uncovering their personal brand and really polishing it up and so that they can exude that and communicate that better, it's understanding yourself better. It's personal development work that can then translate to the business world. It increases your confidence. It can help you walk taller, shake hands firmer, make eye contact more strongly. So when you are able to clearly communicate who you are, what you bring to the table, why you're unique and different, it helps boost your confidence, which is a benefit to everyone around you. It enhances your visibility and presence. People start talking about you. People know who you are. They can refer work to you, business to you, clients to you, and ultimately it helps you with your network as well. It helps to create a clear focus for your career. If you are at a point in your career where maybe you're a little bit stuck, you don't necessarily know what the next direction is, the next step, whether you want a promotion, whether you want to start your own business, whatever that looks like for you, once you understand and are clear what your personal brand is, that can help you with focusing for your career and your next steps. Obviously, it's going to help boost your revenue, fees, or pays. If you're doing any consulting, freelancing work on the side, even within an organization, if you're in a corporation, as far as promotions, if you are more clear about who you are and what your values and strengths are, what you bring to the table, you're the go-to person for a promotion versus someone else at the same level in your office, perhaps. It can help you thrive during economic downturns. And I just thought I'd have Molly jump in here really quickly on kind of where we're at in these economic times and what you've seen out and about as far as how people with really clear personal brands that are very distinguished help during these times specifically.
I tell you, Cammie, it's really interesting to hear people, and it comes back to authenticity. Watching people who are in the job search, people who are just in business trying to get more business, that those who know themselves and know who they are and are not trying to adapt to everyone else, but they're saying, here's who I am, here's what I'm great at, here's what I'm not great at, and I want to find the right opportunities where I'm a perfect fit, those are the people who are landing perfect fit jobs. The people who are settling, who are desperate, who will say, well, I need the income, I'll take anything, those are the people who are not finding anything because they're trying to be everything to everyone. And chameleons, in a market like this, chameleons are not the ones who land jobs. The people who are the peacocks. I just made all that up. I'm like, what a great analogy.
That is
but
a great analogy.
People who are really, you know exactly who they are. So it's true, Cammie.
Thanks. That the peacock reference is perfect. I'm a really visual person, so I love when people bring up visual images like that. So yes, so be the peacock. That's going to be our theme for today. It can help you expand into new businesses. If perhaps you're considering making a complete career change, maybe you're looking to get into a field that you haven't been in for very long or don't have a ton of experience in, but you're solid and can clearly communicate what you bring to the table. When you start making those exploratory calls and emails and meetings, having a clear and solid personal brand can definitely help you expand into new business. Ultimately, it's going to help you reach your goals and become a more confident person. So let's just talk a little bit also about authenticity. So that's another word. Authenticity and integrity are kind of those words that sort of we hear a lot. They're buzzwords, and I think a lot of people speak out of both sides of their mouth about them. What I remember most about authenticity and integrity is really walking your talk. And again, people say that all the time, but they don't always do that. And we've seen that as evidence in the newspapers. We read articles about businesses that are not being authentic. But personal branding at the core helps keep you grounded. It helps you be you. So use your values, passions, and strengths. We'll talk a little bit more about values and how those core values really can help with your personal brand. And remember that personal brands are not created, right? So like when we're talking about the American Idol example, those people at the core were that brand. They just needed to uncover it. They needed somebody to help pull that out of them. And that's what I love to do with clients as well, is help kind of nurture that. It takes time. Personal brands evolve. There's lots of work that has to be done to help polish that up. So just know that it's not something that's created out of thin air. It's pulling something out of you that already exists within you. So the things that are critical to understand about personal branding is who are you? Who are you at the core? What do you offer? What do you offer that is unique that other people don't offer? And why you? Why should someone hire you? Why should someone work with you? Why should someone refer work to you? Why should someone come to you for a project or a possible partnership? So those are three critical points to also keep in mind. So we're going to get into a quick couple, 10 slides that just talk about the 10 C's of successful personal branding. So I would say if there's 10 top points to keep in mind about personal branding, if you remember nothing else from the presentation today, these would be those. The first one is correct, which I think is kind of an odd word, but I think the description of this is a little bit more clear. A successful brand reflects personal attributes or qualities of its creator. So it's authentic. It's not an example of someone else's brand. It's not you trying to be someone else's brand. It's on point with you, who you are at your heart, who you are at your core. A personal brand is concise. The brand can be captured in one or two sentences describing its creator's unique promise of value. It's really interesting. I don't know if any of you follow Guy Kawasaki. He's the former marketing evangelist for Apple. I love Guy. I love all of his books. He has lots of videos and presentations on the internet. So if you're ever looking for any more information about branding in general, but specifically personal branding, he talks about having a brand mantra. You know, Nike has just do it, and Burger King has have it your way. So beyond a mission statement and something that's big and bulky and heavy and really in-depth, if you can just think of a couple of core words, and when we get to the values part, we'll talk a little bit more about brand mantras and how having just a two- or three-word kind of slogan can really help you communicate your message. So you want to be clear. It's a brand, you want to be sure about what you are, but you also want to be sure about what you're not. So this comes down to sort of niching and knowing your target audience and target market as well. So you know who you are, but you also know who you aren't. You know what your boundaries are. You know what your limits are. You know what you want to clearly communicate. Something else that a personal brand is consistent. This is another one of those core C's. If out of the 10, there's about three cores. Consistent is one of the most important C's out of the 10 C's. It's promise of value to customers, managers, peers, and it never changes. So it's consistent whether you're in a good mood or a bad mood, but you still are you through and through. You're consistent. The next C for the important top 10 C's of personal branding is it's always visible and accessible. So you're always radiating that through and through who are you, whether you're on an airplane, whether you're in an airport, whether you're in the line at the grocery store with family and friends, behind closed doors. It's constant all the time. That doesn't mean you're on all the time. We all need downtime, and we all need to go within and have some quiet time, but it's constant. I know Molly travels a lot. You get nabbed a lot on airplanes. So how does that feel to be constant all the time? Do you have any stories or examples of when you have had to be constant with your brand?
You know what's funny? It's a great example of I love meeting new people. And when I get on an airplane, I am so excited about the person that I'm sitting next to. Last week, I was on a flight with an executive from a hotel chain. Well, we happened to sit next to each other, and he was obviously having a bad day, and I asked him what was going on and tell me more, and he just started talking. About an hour into the flight, he said, "Gosh, this is so crazy. I never talk to people who sit next to me on the plane. Do you?" And I said, "Well, there's an occasion where I don't. I've been on flights where I haven't said boo to the person next to me. I mean, it's really a rare occasion, but it's a great example of always constant. I am... It's true. All the things you're talking about are so reflective of being authentic. So keep it up.
Yeah, that's a great example. People can catch you off guard on airplanes, but always have to be exuding that brand, Molly. The next point is compelling, right? So you want to be compelling with your brand. It's appropriate. It's interesting. It's relevant to the creator. That's you, the creator, to your target audience. And so we say target audience, it sounds a lot like a marketing or an advertising buzzword, but your target audience are the people that you actively want to draw into your inner circle. So companies, people who work for companies that you want to interact with, or people in your community, or charities that you want to be involved with, the level of people that you want to draw into your inner circle in your life. You can do that more clearly if you have a compelling message, if you can get people talking or buzzing. Sometimes people don't even know exactly what it is that you do, but you are so engaging and you are so compelling that they're buzzing about you. Oh, you need to talk to Molly. She's the person that you talk to about networking. Molly's message is really clear. We know what she's all about, but she also has a really solid personal brand, so she's a great example of having a compelling brand that gets people really buzzing. Another example of the top 10 C's is to be clever. This one can be a little tricky. You don't have to be a prankster. You don't have to be a jokester. You don't have to be a stand-up comedian to be clever. It's really what's different and unique about you. It sparks intrigue among your target market and separates you from others with similar skills and abilities. So I know so often we find in our careers that we have people that are at the same level as us. So what really makes you unique and different? What makes you a little more clever or catchy? What makes people want to work with you, drawn to work with you, collaborate with you, communicate with you, have lunch with you, ask you out for a coffee? They want to pick your brain. They want your insights. They want your feedback. They want your advice. You become sort of a mentor or the go-to person within your industry or within your niche. It's by being clever. There's this guy who's a public speaker and an author. Talk about clever or interesting or unique, at least. His name is Scott Ginsberg. I don't know if anyone's heard of him, but he wears a name tag, like the ones that you see at regular little networking events that says, "Hello, my name is." And so his whole brand is based around, "Hello, my name is," and his name is Scott. So everything of his says, "Hello, my name is Scott." And that's sort of his catchy, clever little thing. It's gotten him a lot of media attention, a lot of marketing attention. He's gotten lots of public speaking engagements because of it. So we don't all have to go around with a little name badge on that says, "Hello, our name is." But what is that thing that's unique and different about you, or that signature kind of thing? Maybe it's glasses. Maybe you wear glasses and you have really unique and interesting frames. Maybe you're known for your shoes or your handbag or the demeanor that you have. Perhaps you're the person who always gives someone a compliment in the morning. Whatever that thing is for you that's clever and unique, tap into that. That's what clever is really all about.
And, Cammy, I think it's important to mention it's clever and unique. It's not goofy. Like,
no.
You know, it's, I wear these glasses so I stand out. Well, yeah,
right.
you look like a clown. So,
yeah, intriguing. And clever.
Good.
Intriguing and clever, yeah.
All
something
right.
to get people buzzing, not laughing and pointing fingers.
Sure.
The next one would be connected. So, the creator participates in the appropriate communities and is part of a strong network of partners, colleagues, and customers. So you want to stay connected. Oftentimes what happens with people who feel really comfortable in their careers, whatever stage of their career they're at, but maybe they feel safe, secure, they kind of stop reaching out to others, they stop going to networking events, they're not necessarily collaborating within their community, whether it's a charity event or a run. If you're into fitness, it could be a run for a charity. Whatever that is, just be sure to stay connected with the appropriate people that I said, once again, that you want to draw into your inner circle so that you can expand your network, but also help contribute to helping those other people within your network stay connected and connecting them to other people as well. So staying connected, but knowing who your market is and the types of people you're wanting to connect with. We don't want to have people running around and getting burnout and being frazzled because they're connecting with everyone. It's when you know your brand, you know the types of people that you want to stay connected with. The next one is committed. It's clear that you're in it for the long haul. So when I think of someone who's really committed to personal branding, I think of Madonna. Her brand has evolved so much over the years. I mean, gosh, she's been around for decades, right? And she looks a little different each time. You know, every couple of years, she changes her hair color, her clothing style or whatnot. But yet there's still something that signature her. She's a risk taker. She's bold. She's fearless. She doesn't always make the right choices, but she makes the choices that are right for her at the time. And that's what being committed to your brand is all about. It's knowing that you're in it for the long haul. You're not just a one-off or, you know, kind of the brand of the day or the person of the day. You're the person that people go to and look to for your specific expertise for the long haul.
I think you're not the vanilla ice. I think
that's
what it is.
That's the antithesis,
yeah.
Right? The one-hit wonders.
Right.
finally, it's also about staying current. So staying in today, what's based in today, with room to evolve in tomorrow. The people that get lost are the people that want to really hold on to who they were 10, 20, 30 years ago. You know, you can still be true to your core values, which we're going to get into here in a moment, but also evolve and develop into the brand that is you for the future. So your core values, your brand mantra, those things can sort of evolve and expand with you, but you have to dig a little bit deeper and know what those actually are. So this might be a good time to just take a quick second and see if there's any questions before we move into the values portion of our presentation.
And Cami, when you said that there were the three cores of these, the 10 C's, you said consistent was a core. What were the other two that were, if you only remember three, what are the three you need to remember?
Consistent, clarity, and constant.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Consistency, clarity, and constant.
Our next question comes from Christine Barnes. Your line is open.
Thanks very much. My question is about connecting personal branding with your life purpose. Can you talk about how the two might complement each other or if they do?
Yes. Actually, the next segment that I'm going to talk about is definitely going to tap into that. So I'm going to go into the three phases of personal branding, and then I'm going to talk about core values. The core values, I'll briefly, we don't have enough time on this call to get really in-depth into this, but it's an exercise that I use with clients. I used it on myself, and it changed my life. I mean, everything that has developed in my life over the last several years since really diving into personal branding and understanding that, it's because of core values, and I have a core values exercise, and it's core values for your life, and then how does that translate into your brand? So if you're okay with that, we'll just wait a couple of more slides until we get to that part, and then if you have deeper questions on how that relates to your life purpose, we can get to that afterwards. That sound good?
Great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Okay, so we're going to jump into this next portion. The three phases of personal branding are, I actually went through a personal branding certification program with a company called Reach CC. There's a book called Career Distinction by a man named William Aruda. He co-authored the book Career Distinction, and they talk about extract, express, and exude. And I use these three pictures, the poor little boy. I can't imagine having gone to the dentist back in the day when we didn't have really great dentists. But really, this first phase, the extract phase, can take months, and sometimes years. I've worked with clients who really resist this phase, which is where the core values exercise comes in that I'll talk about in a few slides here. It's pulling it out from within you. It's not comparing yourself to other people. This is really going deep within and finding out what it is that you have in your core, in your essence, that wants to be expressed. which leads us to the next picture, which is my niece, Alyssa, the cutest niece ever.
I don't know about that. I got 10 to compete with it.
I used this picture of her as an example because she lives this phase, right? She is constantly expressing who she is 24/7. Whether she's cranky or sleepy or happy and bubbly, she's always authentic and expressing her unique self. I think she looks a little like Elvis in that picture. So she's a little goofy, but she's super smart and quirky and just really cool. And she always helps bring me back to that place for myself if I ever fall off track. And then I used the picture of Angelina Jolie for the exude phase. So when I look at Angelina Jolie, she just radiates who she is. There's no doubt about it. She's confident. She's clear. She's come a long way. She was a hot mess earlier. She is now, you know, adopted children from around the world, and she's doing a lot of humanitarian work. So she is a great example, too, of being committed to personal branding. But she's always been authentic. Even when she was a hot mess, she was happy to say, I'm a hot mess right now, and that's just where I am. I'm honest. This is who I am. I'm not afraid to share it. And she's evolved and grown, and so she's a great example of someone who totally, truly exudes her personal brand.
And
so,
you know what, Cammy, what might be interesting to mention is how your following changes as you evolve over time. The people who loved that Angelina Jolie might be the different people who love the Angelina Jolie of today.
Exactly. Good point. And that goes back to when you know who you are at your core and you have your personal values identified, that helps you attract and draw into your life the people that you want. And so I'm sure Angelina's not upset that those same people are not following her because they're not the same people she would want to be following her now.
Right.
So as she's grown and evolved, she's attracted a different level and caliber of people along with her. And we all can do that too. The more clear we are with our personal brands, we start playing with bigger players, and that's kind of the goal. So we're gonna just touch on a little bit on each of these phases really quickly, and I'll tell you what happens at each of these phases when you go through the personal branding process, either on your own or with a branding coach or expert or consultant. And there's tons of us out there who are passionate about this conversation, so I encourage you to keep looking into this if you're interested. In phase one, the extract phase, it is by far the most challenging phase, like I already said. It's very introspective. It brings up a lot of gunk because it brings our fears, our doubts, our insecurities to the surface. And it also brings up that kind of who do you think you are? Like, who do you think you are to want to be bigger than you are right now? Who do you think you are to want to be bolder, better, more wise, stronger? It's just our ego talking, and we need to learn how to stifle those fears and put those out. It's focused on lifelong goals, so there's a lot of goal setting that goes along with it, as well as getting down to the core true motivators and values, what really motivates you in your life. So a lot of people always say, oh, I want to be prosperous and make a lot more money. What's underneath that? There's a value that's underneath being prosperous and making money. And so this part of the phase of the branding process gets to that. It's asking for and weighing feedback from others. So when I went through this 10-week certification program, I actually went through it myself for my brand. And what we do is we send out an email to people in our network, and we ask them, it's a survey basically, if they were to say what our brand communicated, what would that look like? So there's a whole survey behind that, and you can create one on your own, or you can go online and find a survey. But it's really just like you were a business. You would send out a survey and ask for feedback of the people that know you best, and they can tell you what your brand currently reflects, because if you don't know what you're putting out there right now, how can you build upon that or change? It's analyzing your target audience and your competitors, so analyzing who the people are in your circle you're trying to communicate to and who the other people that are sort of like you, what they're doing, how they're doing it, what their success is, looking at that and how you fit into that mix. It's understanding how your brand fits into the larger professional landscape. So if you don't know where you fit in, how can you possibly move forward? So it's visualizing the new you. And this phase is really uncomfortable because you can maybe start to see it and visualize it, but you're not currently there. So this phase can be a little bit scary for people. It's sort of like that visual of the trapeze, right? You're swinging, you're holding on to the one, and you need to let go and grasp on to that next new thing, but you're not quite ready to let go of it yet. That's sort of the extract phase. So I hope that makes sense, but that's what phase one is about. Phase two is the express phase. The express phase is where you discover tools to help communicate with your target audience. It helps you identify the most effective and enjoyable tools for you, whether that's sending out a monthly newsletter or a monthly email, reaching out to people through Facebook. Some people have Facebook fan pages. Again, depending on if you're working within a corporation or if you're doing some consulting on the side, but keeping in touch with people, finding what those tools are. The content themes to focus your key communication to your audience. How do you want to communicate them with them? What do you want to communicate with them?
And, Cammie, let me just bring something up on that idea of tools. It doesn't necessarily have to be like electronic tools. It could be, hey, I have lunch with friends every quarter,
yeah,
or something like that. So don't feel like everything has to be about you building your own blog and creating a fan page and being on the circuit. It's more of, again, what's authentic to you and what tools, what options or tactics you might engage in that would continue to propagate your brand, right?
Yeah, exactly. I have a friend locally here who she works in the venture capitalist industry, and she always is trying to connect VCs with people who are either starting businesses or expanding businesses and whatnot. And she was tired of she'd been to lots of different networking events in town, and she was really trying to find where her people, where her tribe, where her core target audience was at. She met a couple of people at one event that they used to go to once a month, and they really weren't jiving with the group. So her and one other guy broke off, and now once a month they host their own sort of small, intimate group. It's invite only. She just sends out a quick little email and tells people if they want to invite one other person or a friend that is of like mind and common interests to the event. And so it's usually a handful of 20 really high caliber people. It's how she keeps in touch with people. She's a busy person. She doesn't have time to talk on the phone to all of her friends and connections every day. So once a month she hosts this sort of little networking thing. No cost to her. She just picks a venue and people show up. So that's a great thing to bring up. So you begin to walk your talk, and then I put, or fake it till you make it. So there's two different camps, two different schools of thought. Some people think, well, how can you fake it till you make it? You should be it or not. Well, sometimes you're not quite there yet. So you begin to step into it step by step, bit by bit, whether that means changing the way that you dress a bit or polishing up you know, your accessories or polishing up the way you communicate verbally, whatever that is. Putting it in bits and pieces into your current lifestyle as you step into the exude phase, which is our next phase. So in the exude phase, the final phase of the personal branding process where we showed the picture of Angelina Jolie, this is where you shape your brand environment, where you start to develop and cultivate the relationships with the people that you want to surround yourself with. Every component of that environment is brand on. So it's, again, being in alignment with integrity and authenticity. Building and nurturing a professional network to further extend your brand and to support the network members within your brand. So it's about building a network of people to support you, but also becoming a support person for the people within your network. And Molly, you're the relationship expert. So I don't know if there's anything you wanted to chime in as far as like building your circle of people, building your tribe a bit.
You know, I would just comment that a lot of people struggle with how do you continue to nurture your professional network, your personal network, and it changes for everybody. I was talking to someone last week. He said, how do you keep in touch with people? And unfortunately, I don't have a real organized method to do that because I feel like that's unauthentic for me, and I need to contact people when it's appropriate, not just because it's the third Thursday of the month at 3 o'clock. So, but you know, maybe it's just having lunch with a group of people. Maybe it's just picking up the phone on a Friday afternoon and giving someone a shout and saying, hey, I was just thinking about you today and wanted to know what's up. And so nurturing that professional network. Also, it's interesting how you make one call to someone and how many people they tell you that you two talked. So I was having a meeting yesterday with someone who apparently told three people prior to our meeting that we were having a meeting together, which then creates the buzz and gets the word out continuing. There's more water cooler talk about you than you realize, not in a bad way, but in a great way, assuming you're doing great things. So I think it varies for everyone. There's no one clear method to always nurture that relationship.
Well, that's a whole separate call, and I'm sure you'll notice it. So yes, collaborate, share referrals, create new endeavors, and be the brand. That's really at the core of the exude phase. So that's really when you're in it. You've stepped into that new phase. You're expressing it 24/7. You're exuding it, radiating it. People know you're it. If someone says the word passion, which is one of my words, people think of me. And that's kind of what you want to become. So it's either a word, a couple of words, a handful of words that you exude. So be the brand you. This carries through everything that you do. It's beyond business cards, logos, and letterheads. So when we talk about branding, sometimes people are like, get really hung up in the logo. Like, I'm going to make a personal brand card for myself. So, yes, I might be an employee of a business, but I'm going to make a card that's just for me. And then they get really lost in the logo creation process. It's really not so much about that. It's about expressing it clearly through and through. So that goes to your image and the clothes that you wear. Are they outdated? Are they wrinkled? Are they stained? Have you outgrown some of them? Are they not really current to, modern fashions? I always like to think less is more, and keeping it simple is best when it comes to clothing. So if you can go through your wardrobe, pick out the 10 key items that are staple items, whether you're male or female, that are kind of timeless pieces. And if you don't have them, you might want to go to some of those stores, an Ann Taylor, a Banana Republic, even Macy's, the department store. You can get some of those key, simple, staple items in your wardrobe that are polished. You might want to pay a little bit more for those items, and then get a few trendier pieces to mix into your wardrobe. But definitely nothing stained, nothing torn, nothing ripped, no hems coming loose. That's just not polished. It's not professional, and it's not the image that you want to exude.
Can I jump in here real quick?
Yeah.
Just especially if you're deciding to either look for more business or look for a new job, the image you give out, if you look like you haven't changed your hairstyle in 50 years, we've got a problem. I remember actually watching a speaker, a president of a company, who looked like he had the same military haircut as he did when he got out of the military, I think 35 years ago. And it was... It's hard to believe that you're updated on new approaches, new management disciplines, new leadership principles, when your whole image reflects the 60s, 50s, 40s, or 30s. there was a woman at one of our meetings, and I think she thought, oh, my hair looks fantastic. And I'm thinking, yeah, it looks fantastic for a commercial, for Mad Men, the show all about the 50s. And she said, I'm having trouble finding a job. And I'm thinking, well, yeah, because you're not updated. You don't look current. You might be current in your technologies, but you don't look current. So, and that image is sending all the wrong signals. So
Yeah, it lends to credibility, exactly. Good point. So shoes, handbags, and luggage also. So for those of you who travel, Molly made one of them.
I need new luggage.
If your luggage is coming off of that conveyor belt and it's so beat up and it's ratted and tatted, that is also reflecting on you. So you definitely want to upgrade those, get your shoes polished. Men at the airport, they have those wonderful people that will do that for you. Ladies, I know our heels sometimes from walking around can become all chewed up, and the little black thing on the bottom of the heels gets torn up. So take it to a shoe repair place if you're really loving the shoe. If the shoe is still in good condition but the heel's a wreck, take it in and get the shoe repaired. Same thing with your handbags. And Molly already spoke about hairstyle, makeup, hands, and nails. Hands are big too. I know it's hard and we neglect ourselves. We tend to put others before ourselves, but if you don't go and pay for a manicure, at least do a manicure on yourself. Make sure that you don't have snaggled, snarly old nails or dirt underneath them. It's just not nice when you're shaking hands with new people for the first time. Eyeglasses and accessories, same thing. You want to stay current, want to stay modern on top of the current trends. And that's really, if there's a takeaway for that, it's just to stay current, be polished, exude that brand. So now we're gonna step a little bit more into the values portion. So back to the question earlier about how does this lead back to your purpose, what you're here to do. And I think the question that comes to mind when we start thinking about this as far as personal branding and core values is, who am I? So who am I? What am I here to do, right? It's that existential question we always are asking ourselves. In working in the personal branding process, I created an exercise based on several different versions of exercises similar to this that I had done with different coaches that I've worked with and different programs that I've been in educationally for myself. What I tell clients to do, and it would take a little bit too long to do it here today, so we'll just give you a glimpse of what that is, but this actually can be game-changing, life-changing, life-altering. I wish we had more time to get into that, but again, maybe Molly will have me on some other time and we'll talk just about core values in building your personal brand. But really what I tell people to do is imagine that you were sitting at an outdoor cafe and someone were to walk by and see you sitting in that cafe and they were to say, you know, this person is really A, B, and C. If there were three or four words that they just could tell was radiating off of you, or if you were to imagine that your body were covered but only in four words, so your clothing was words, what would those four words be? If people could identify you only by these four words, you don't have to be these four words yet. This is your ideal life. This is big picture. This is the direction that you want to go in. So the exercise that I use with my clients is we come up, we drill it down, and again, this process can take months. We drill down to four core value words, and I tell them to imagine that these four words are the corner of a picture frame. So if you have a piece of paper, draw a square, a rectangle, and then the four words would go in each corner. Because what we do once we figure out what those words are, once we uncover and whittle it down and get to those four core words, is we then take that frame and we surround it over any scenario in our lives. So I had a client who was working at a place that was really toxic environment. The people were just sort of, in her words, crazy. And we've all worked in those places. I think I worked with her. We've all worked with those people in those places, right? Those environments that are very toxic. They bring you down. They weigh you down. There's energy suckers all around you. And she liked what she did. She didn't like the environment. So once we figured out what these four core values were, we put the frame around it, and she asked, you know, is my job A, B, C, and D? Is it helping to bring more of A, B, C, and D into my life? Well, no, it clearly wasn't. So then we were able to figure out and plot some action steps for her. So I'm going to just show you a slide with some words, and this is just scraping the surface of value words. Actually, there's a great book by a man named Thomas Leonard. He's considered sort of the godfather of coaching. He has a values exercise within his book. It's in one of his books. It's called The Portable Coach. So if anyone is interested in exploring core values, there's a book called The Portable Coach by Thomas Leonard, and it has pages and pages of value words. So if you were to imagine some of these words, I'll just start reading them up. Here they come now. Adventure, abundance, accomplishment, commitment, courage, creativity, dependability, elegance, excellence, focus, fun, harmony, happiness, inspiration, justice, leadership, love, optimism, passion, persuasiveness, power, and truth. I'm going to give you about 30 seconds just to sort of look at this slide, look at some of these words, or if another word pops to the surface for you, and sort of jot those down. What I do when I work with clients is we come up with those four words, and we just did that in about 15 seconds. We kind of looked at that. There's all kinds of words, and what people end up having to do typically is categorize those words into different groups, and then we whittle down the categories. So they'll typically come up with four quadrants or four categories of similar words. So it could be adventure. I had one client that really wanted to build adventure into her life. That was part of who she is. She wanted to make space, make time for adventure to come into her life. And so we took that on as one of her four core values for her personal brand. I'm going to go ahead.
Can I interrupt you real quick?
Yeah.
I was just thinking of an exercise, but a couple years ago, these concept of vision boards were really popular, and it all came to create a vision board and grab these pictures of things that reflect you or what you want life to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's a really good example of if you're sitting there looking at the words and saying, well, I don't know, what are mine? Think more about the vision of, are you the person who likes to skydive off buildings? Maybe you are the adventure. Maybe adventure needs to be part of your life.
Right.
So, and maybe if it's something on more professional side, something that's the buttoned up tailored person, maybe that's somewhere in it too as well. So I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, vision boards are great. I have a vision board. It's really great to get that visual.
I have no doubt you do.
Mine has a lot of travel on it, international travel, which I haven't been doing much of lately. So we'll see if I'm going to get to pulling that into my life. But really, it's true. The more we focus on the things that we want, the more we are able to draw those into our life, and not to get woo-woo or law of attraction-y. But if you don't know what direction you want to go in, there's no way you're going to get there. So really, that's what this is about. I put up a slide here, which are my personal four core values. It's truth, beauty, love, and spirit. At the time when I went through this several years ago, I was working in an environment that was a bit toxic, much like one of my clients. I was also in a relationship that wasn't quite where I wanted a relationship to be. And so I knew that I needed to remove myself from these situations, but once I really clearly defined, okay, in my life, I'm going to speak my truth and I'm going to seek truth, and that's what I want my life to look like. I wasn't currently doing that. I wasn't currently holding myself to these standards. I wanted to create beauty in everything I did, whether it was professionally. Sorry, I was getting a little feedback. Yeah, whether it was professionally or personally, I wanted to spread love and charity and goodwill, and I wanted to nourish my spirit and the spirit of everyone else that I come into contact with. And so once I clearly defined those, I then took that picture frame and was able to put it around work and family and friends and relationships, and then answer my questions about, if I'm going to be these four things, then I need to align my life to be a reflection of those things, and I need to be a reflection of those things and walk and be authentic and in integrity. So that's the really short version of the values exercise. Because at the end of the day, personal branding is also really about knowing your worth, knowing your value, knowing what you bring to the table that no one else brings to the table. And until you have a really clear picture of what your four core values are, and it could be five, it could be three, you know, it doesn't have to be four, whatever works for you. That's just kind of a basis to take it upon. Until you're clear what that is, you can't exude and bring your wisdom, your own unique voice into the world as clearly as you could if those were clearly defined for you. So that stuff, again, takes a lot of work. It's in that first extract phase of the personal branding process. Knowing your worth also means, how do you add value? What expertise do you bring to the table that someone else does not? Focus on that. Don't try to be everything to everyone. Focus on the unique things that only you can bring to the table. Why are you the only one a client should work with, or a colleague would want to partner with, or a manager or a VP would want to assign a project to? Why are you that go-to person? What's unique about the service that you provide? Do you deliver raving service every single time, so then you become the service person? Are you a support person? Are you a nurturing person? Are you an innovator? What is that kind of buzzword that you want to associate yourself with? So again, if you were to be the brand, like in marketing, what is your unique selling point, your unique selling proposition, your USP? So it's all about being unique and different. another thing just to tap on before we kind of wrap it up here too, and Molly is a big fan of this part, is knowing your tribe. So this goes back to networking. We are stronger when we have people around us that can help raise us up, that we can also do the same for in conjunction. So it's about connection. It's about relationship. It's about cultivating those. You really want to know who those people are, the level, the caliber of the people that you want to bring into your life, but also who then are those people that are going to become your fans. You are all on this call today because you're fans of Molly's. People will become your own evangelists. They'll spread the word for you. So that if you do create something, or if you write a book, or if you're going to be running a marathon and you're trying to get donations, or if you want to enlist people's help at work on a project, who are those people that are your fans that are going to help you? They're going to spread your message for you virally, verbally, word of mouth. They're going to help promote your work by sharing it with others. If you're selling something, a service, a product, they're going to buy from you. So just get really clear and focused on who is your target.
You know what, Cammie, I would bring up a point about that, about people who will buy your services. And sometimes when you're have your own business, or you're maybe a consultant and selling services, knowing who your tribe is, knowing the right people to sell to, will get you more business and better business. I know some people, and it's the same in job search, targeting companies that are more in line with your personal brand will get you more opportunities than targeting companies that, again, I'm desperate, I've got to do something, I'll just take something. And so you've thinking about your own personal brand, it aligns with how successful you become. The more authentic you are, the more successful you are, because you're going to land those great opportunities, be it a new job, be it new clients, be it a promotion within your own organization, because you're exuding authenticity.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So I think that with that, we're gonna pretty much wrap it up and open the floor. I did want to just, you know, the last three things, if I can leave with anything, it's authenticity, which we've talked a lot about, authenticity and integrity, being in alignment with who you are at your core, which means knowing your values, keep it real, stay in integrity, clarity, be clear, be specific. Molly's famous phrase is, specific is terrific, vague is like the plague. So be specific and be consistent everywhere, with everyone you meet, every hand that you shake,
whether
it's...
Sure
to shake it correctly.
That's yeah. Shake it correctly. Molly has a whole portion of her workshops on how to shake hands, which is much needed. I don't like the little wet, limp handshakes either.
Maybe it's authentic for some. Yeah.
Yes. So that about wraps it up. Did you have any final words, Molly?
I was just going to say, why don't we open the lines again for questions, and just basically on anything that Cammie's talked about today, whether it's the value words you're trying to figure out, whether it's if you feel like you're exuding the right brand, but it's not being received in the correct way. I mean, maybe there's some thoughts on that. So, Jackie, do we have any questions right now?
Matthew Bovell, your line is open.
Hi, thank you. First of all, Cammie, great presentation. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
The question I had for you was, you talked about using the tools that are right for you, and a lot of marketers say, well, you've got to be everywhere. You've got to do Twitter, and you've got to get on Facebook, and you've got to have a blog. And it's kind of like this, you've got to just saturate the environment with your presence. What's your take on that? Can you be selective, or do you have to go full throttle like that?
That's such a great question. I'm so glad that you asked that question. I love social media. If you ask Molly, I'm a social media junkie, right? But that's me. It's not for everyone. And my take on that personally is find the one thing that might work for you. So if it's Twitter, if you're a fan of Twitter, then rock out on Twitter. If it's Facebook and you've got friends on Facebook and you've got your network kind of there and they know that they can expect to hear from you on Facebook, then do Facebook. If it's LinkedIn, I mean, LinkedIn is the most professional social networking site out there. But also be discerning about the people that you accept connections from in LinkedIn, because you can't delete them like in some of the other social networks. Once they're in, they're in.
Oh, no, you can delete them. I'll show you how later.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
I do that to a couple people.
But LinkedIn is the professional, kind of social networking platform kind of choice. So that might be a good place for people to start, but by no means should people feel pressure. It's amazing. In the social media world, there is this whole buzz about if you're not doing social, you're not doing it right. Well, the social media world is about one-third of the population, so not everyone is doing social. It's great. It's amazing. It's another form of communication, but it can also be a big distraction. It can take you off brand. It can take you off course. So if you're not going to do it well, don't do it. Find the one that you feel comfortable with. Get your feet wet with it. Find someone who might be a mentor or who knows a bit about it to help tutor you, and step into it one step at a time. And then if you feel like easing into another version. A good way to start, if you're not really into all of that, is to just create either an e-newsletter or just an email, like send out an email maybe once a month to touch base with people. But baby steps is the best way to go with that. That's my advice.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Well, I think, Cammie, you kind of summarized it very nicely on authenticity, clarity, and consistency. And we thank you so much for spending some time with us today and learning all about the personal brand. I'm sure everyone's sitting there thinking, oh, my gosh, what is my personal brand? What are the four quadrants of the picture frame that I want to exude? And like you said, it takes a while. And Cammie, I know you have a blog. Do you want to mention your blog?
Sure. I have a blog. It's sort of hibernating, on hiatus a bit, because I am looking to launch a second blog. But currently there is one at passionmeetspurpose.com/blog. There's lots of personal development advice, coaching advice, branding advice on there. And you can also subscribe to the newsletter on that page as well. So passionmeetspurpose.com/blog.
Wonderful. And so thank you so much for being our first guest on the Friends of Molly series that we're having. As Floor said, the next one is going to be April 8th. And, again, it's all about value-driven relationships. I believe that next one is going to be talking about leadership, some leadership qualities, and how to be increase the power of your leadership and the authenticity of your leadership with relationships, with regard to relationships. So very interesting speaker that we'll have. And, again, I'll be back in March to talk on the next Career on Track series, talking about job search tips. And if you have questions...
Holly, there is a question in the chat room from Kathleen Sandifer.
Oh, okay, great. Does Cammie have a couple key books you can recommend? I think you talked to Paul Leonard, the StrengthFinders one, the Paul Leonard and maybe... The personal job coach? Okay.
Yeah, I talked about Thomas Leonard, the portable coach. That was one I talked about. There's a book called Me 2.0, Dan Schaubel.
he sort of he writes all over the internet and for magazines like Fast Company and Entrepreneur. It's called Me 2.0. It's all about personal branding. You can find his personal branding blog. It's Dan Schaubel, S-C-H-A-W-B-E-L, I think, Schaubel. If you Google him, you can find that. That's a great book on personal branding as well. And then Tom Peters, if you just Google Tom Peters, there's a ton of work and writing by Tom Peters, his original Fast Company article about the brand you, and then his books also that he's written on personal branding. Those are some great ones to get started with.
Wonderful. And Andrew on the chat room had a question of the acronym USP. If you could repeat and elaborate on the concept of the USP.
Sure. So it's sort of a marketing term, marketing business, branding word, unique selling proposition or unique selling point. So what is that thing when I was kind of rattling on about, are you the go-to person because you're considered innovative? Are you the go-to person because you're a support person? Are you the go-to person because you deliver raving service to your customers and clients? What is that thing that you're known for, that unique thing that is you and only you, or that you do better than other people who also do what you do? So it's unique to you. It's your selling point or your selling proposition. So what is that for you?
Wonderful. And then we do have another question about the concept of a brand statement. Do you write it out just like you'd write out a mission statement?
Awesome. That's a great point. Yes. For me, I took on the words passion meets purpose. So I actually named my business and website domain name based on my brand mantra. And I really like Guy Kawasaki's version of having a brand mantra versus a brand mission statement, because it can just become overwhelming with all of the words. So I think just pick a few, 2 to 4 buzzwords. It can be your 4 core value words, or it can actually form a statement like Nike's Just Do It. And, yeah, if it helps you to write it out, write it out. If it helps to put it on a business card, if it makes sense to do that and it becomes your kind of slogan, your brand slogan, definitely. But if it helps to just have it internally for yourself, then keep those words in mind. For me, the passion meets purpose, what it means to me is to live passionately and on purpose each day and to help other people live passionately and on purpose each day. So that's why I chose those words. But it can be anything for you, whatever those words are, that lends to your brand and your core values.
And, Flora, if we could just get one more question in, because I think it's a really important one. We have a minute or two left. Someone writes that he's not 100%, or he or she, I'm not sure if it's a he or she, is not 100% sure what my values are since so many of them appeal to me. How do I narrow down the list to truly identify them, not just intellectually, but truly narrow down that list?
Mm-hmm. Like I said, this is the toughest phase of the branding process because it's getting to the core of who you are and who you want to become, whether you're currently operating at that mode or not. So what I've done with clients is put it into 4 quadrants, since we're talking about 4 words and 4 corners of a picture frame. So my recommendation is to go through a book that has a list of value words. And like I said, The Portable Coach does have several pages of values words. You can also Google online personal branding values words, and there are lots of articles that talk about core values that will just give you some words to kind of help spur on ideas. And start X-ing off the ones that don't resonate. So if you don't get an immediate hit or a or a tingle or a sensation or a buzz from one of the words, if it's definitely a no, scratch it off the list. So you just start scratching off, whittling it down. And you may get it down to what I do with clients is we get it down to 20, and then we get it down to 10, and then we whittle it down to 4. And it takes a lot of time sometimes to go from 20 to 10. But if you have someone in your life that you can bounce these off of, if you can ask them, do I communicate or convey adventure? Whatever the word is for you. I just chose that word. But pick one of those words or a couple of those words and bounce them off someone who's close to you in your life. You'll be surprised at the feedback that other people can give you on what you are currently communicating. Now, that doesn't mean that if they say no, that may not be something you want to take on. It could be something you want to take on and own for your brand for the future. So I say whittle it down to 4 quadrants of like similar words, words that kind of are similar, fun, adventure, joy, peace, passion. Some of those things kind of have similar qualities about them. Put them into 4 quadrants and then start whittling them away. I hope that helps.
Yeah, I would imagine very much so. Cami, again, thank you so much for spending time with us today. And thanks, everyone, for being on the call floor. I think we're going to wrap it up here. Do you have any final words to say?
No, I want to thank everybody, especially on this call. Thank you for the effort of signing into the call and for using your full name. both your last name and your first name, and I want to keep stressing why that's important. It's not what that we're necessarily very interested in outing you for whatever reason, but the better we get to know your preferences, the better we will be able to target specific events, invitations, or materials to you. So for those of you that are a little bit shy and sign on with initials, just know that you might be missing out on some opportunities. But I do want to thank you, Molly, again for the first of a great new series, evidently based on the enthusiastic reception. Your Molly and Friends is going to be a popular one. And, Cami, thank you so very much for your time this afternoon. For introducing yourself to our community and for this invaluable exchange on personal branding. Thank you all, and we will see you next month with Molly on Tuesday.
Thursday, March 11th.
Thank you. Thursday, March 11th in the Career on Track, the next segment. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.